Okay, imagine with me for a second. You are walking into your classic sterile convention center that hosts all of the trade shows, all of the business conferences. You go into the main room, and instead of walking into a normal trade show that has lines and lines of booths and fluorescent lighting, you step into a magical, whimsical garden. You smell mulch and trees and flower scents. You hear bird song. The lights are dimmed, and before you are 20 different professionally designed and installed garden landscapes for your pleasure to peruse. Beyond that, you do have rows and rows of booths, not of people trying to sell you Wi-Fi or phone plans, but people who are selling house plants, garden plants, trailing jasmine, thrift shops, artisan makers who create really beautiful things for your gardens. And with your ticket, you get to attend over 100 different seminars on every aspect of gardening you could dream of. That is the Northwest Flower and Garden Show, plant friends. I just got back from Seattle. This was my third year being there, and I have a lot of thoughts and opinions after immersing myself in garden culture all week. So let's dive into what I learned.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Hello, plant friends. My name is Maria. I am here to help you grow joy by connecting with plants. Sometimes we talk about houseplants. Sometimes we talk about nature. Today, we're going to be talking about gardening, but specifically the immense joy that was brought to me by going to the Northwest Flower and Garden Show. Sometimes it's called the Northwest Flower and Garden Festival in Seattle, Washington this year. I went because I was speaking and hosting the House of Plants pop-up. This was my third year going. It gets better and better every year I go. And I really see the Northwest Flower Garden Show as an opportunity to really not just like enjoy being around plants, but also really get a sense for the trends that are happening each year. Because each year the garden installs and what is being sold at all of these booths is a little bit different. And I really came away with a couple of really strong opinions on what is going to be happening in the plant world in 2026. After being at the festival all week. So I really want to dive in and share it with you. If you've been loving the podcast, I would love for you to take a moment to give it a 5-star review on your preferred podcast player. Say something nice. And also, you are always invited to join the Growing Joy newsletter. You can go to growingjoywithmaria.com/newsletter and join our newsletter. Every Friday, I slide into your inbox and I tell you how I'm growing joy this week. Some things are plant related and some things aren't. It's really fun. It's unfiltered. I don't use AI to write it. It's filled with typos because of that, but it's just kind of my direct line to the audience beyond this podcast. So go ahead and subscribe. So I'm going to go over my main takeaways from the garden show, but also the second half of this episode is actually mini interviews with some of the biggest names in gardening and houseplants out there. The fun part of going to plant shows like this is I not only get to connect with you guys, the listeners, the plants, the vendors, but also there are a lot of speakers at this festival. So there are a lot of the top garden, you know, creators and houseplant creators there that I was able to do like mini Jimmy on the street style episodes. So stay tuned through the end because the second half of the episode is going to be a compilation of those interviews. But first, I want to get to the nitty gritty of what I thought. If you don't know, the garden show, I think it's the second largest garden show in the entire country. I'm not sure about that. It's been going on forever. And every year they have over 20 display gardens. They have, I think, over 110 different educational sessions over 5 days. I was there because I gave a talk on my plant parent personalities. And they also do these really cool activations on the floor in the middle of where all of the booths and vendors are. And so one day I gave my talk on plant parent personalities. And then another day I was a co-host of House of Plants, which is an activation that Costa puts up every year. Costa Farms, they make house plants, and they fill this like cool structure in the middle of the floor with plants. And then people can come and ask us about house plants. Questions and maintenance, and it's a lot of fun. But it is really just a plant lover's paradise. Every year it's themed, and this year the theme was Spring Parade, which was very cute. The display gardens are one of my favorite parts of the Northwest Flower and Garden Show because I feel like, number one, it is so insane when you walk into this conference hall and they're piping in bird song over the speakers and everything smells like mulch. And these garden designers, 20 different landscape architects and garden designers, build out full garden beds and like forests on the concrete show floor. They bring in soil and 8-foot tall trees. People install pools and water features, waterfalls. They install full greenhouses. Like, the creativity is off the charts. And I've noticed every year there are like different overarching themes. And I feel like whatever the landscape designers and the garden designers are doing for their display garden, which is supposed to be like the highest evolution of their self, right? Like their biggest show, usually is a reflection of where gardening is moving in terms of trends. And for me, like the main trend that really blew me away, that I really noticed was extremely present this year and was not as present last year or the year prior, was this concept of whimsy and these like whimsical, magical kind of motifs that were throughout a lot of the garden installs. There was a garden install that had all dyed, naturally dyed wools and materials and the plants that make the dye. There were magical greenhouses and this whimsical book installation, which I'll talk to you about in a second. There was so much whimsy present. And I think it speaks to the state of our country right now in 2026 and how hard it is to be watching the news and to really be craving this like escapism. And I think as gardeners, we escape into our gardens. Like, we use our gardens as our therapy because it is this thing that we can go into and forget our troubles and forget the emails and the to-do lists, and we can just go be present there. But there seemed to be this like elevated, whimsical moment that kind of just promoted this escapism in a way that I hadn't really seen. And I absolutely loved it. And I think for especially adults, like, we don't allow ourselves to stand in awe and to think about fairies and, you know, experience that sense of like excitement and hope and hopefulness about magic. Like, do you know when you were a kid and you were like, oh, I wish I had magical powers? You felt that. You felt that with these garden installs, and I really liked them. So I can't talk about all 20 of them, but I thought it would be fun if I outlined my top three favorite garden designers or garden installs of the show. And this doesn't mean that I didn't love every single garden install, because I really did. Every single one was so unique. They all have this very interesting take. They're viewing their install through like this very specific lens. But three really stood out to me, particularly with this concept of whimsy that I wanted to talk to you about. So to me, the one that like wins the most creative design, like the coolest, oh my God, like who has a brain that would think of this? Like, how on earth did you iterate this, like, let alone like install it, was the installation by Relish Gardens. Those are the designers. And it was called the Jewel Box, A Moment Preserved. This garden was so cool. It not only had plants, but it had like a backyard patio that had like a table that was set. So it gives you this like immersive backyard experience. But in addition to all sorts of plants that were surrounded by it, it had upside down mason jars of canned and preserved goods in the soil, in the most beautiful pattern throughout the soil, so that these preserved goods weaved in and out of the install, like of the trees. And the whole thought was the cycle of like eating through, you know, the preserved goods that you have from the prior growing season as you prepare for the future growing season. It was just so cool and creative. The jars almost look like a little mycorrhizal network, like a little fungi, you know, mushroom network, but they were filled with so many different colors and so many different preserves. And it was just so cool and creative, and I've never seen anything like it. I think the most whimsical installation of the entire garden show was an installation called Where Stories Take Root by the West Seattle Nursery. You probably, this I think is probably like also the most viral, so you probably have seen them. By the way, I'm going to be sharing all three of these on my Instagram in case you want to see some footage, or you can go to the YouTube channel and see some footage. They made an entire like enchanted woodland bookshop within their garden plot. It had a whole like house that was filled with books and had like this whimsical reading nook. There was this like outdoor circular fire pit that you could take your book to read. And then they had a pond with moving water, which was so beautiful. And then they had all of these little whimsical details, like along hidden in one of the nooks of like one of the little hills that they sculpted. They had like tiny little chairs that like fairies would sit in. They also had a smaller chair for a kid to sit in if a kid wanted to sit out in nature and read books. But it was this like enchanted bookshop in the middle of a forest. And when I tell you these installations have full-sized 8-foot trees in them. Like this installation had trees surrounding the house. It really, the way that they install these gardens, like really makes you think that you're outdoors, like you're in someone's backyard or you're in this woodland retreat. It really like alters your perception, like your perspective. You forget that you're in a conference center. It's really so wild and so cool. So hats off to West Seattle Nursery. I thought that was such a cool take. And I've talked to a couple of people since then about that specific thing. And there's also this like push for romance novels again. Like people are reading again and they're reading fiction again in a way that I feel like they weren't before. Once again, this like escapism. And so pairing the whimsical books with the whimsical garden just like felt so cool and immersive and beautiful. Also, I will say most of these garden installs did have some sort of running water feature. And I love that because I feel like the addition of running water really stimulates your ears, like stimulates your sense of hearing sound, which I think is often overlooked in the garden. And then last but not least, you see these crazy structures get built for these garden installs. But my friend Kate from Hello Garden Design, she made the coolest installation called the Garden Maker's Atelier. She installed a full greenhouse in her garden. She had a full greenhouse and she had a full waterfall river running down and around the greenhouse. It was crazy. I can't imagine what the like setup and tech of all of that even looked like. She had beautiful landscape with trees and plants and the beautiful sound of the water. And then the greenhouse was this like enchanted, whimsical nature retreat that had like all of this art that had mushrooms growing out of it and bark and trees and moss. She had this like cool headdress that was made out of like feathers and natural pieces. She had a whimsical sewing machine that had a pin cushion made out of moss that had the pins in it. Like it was this whole reimagination of almost a she shed, right? But like with this like very whimsical, magical take on it. She had all of these like collected vintage furniture and just like pieces that just gave you this feeling like you were escaping into a storybook. It was so beautiful and cool. And the way these garden designers design their gardens is that there's normally like an entrance and an exit. So you're like led through the entire thing and then you exit. And they're so cool. So my hat goes off to all of the designers. I applaud you. Also want to give a shout out to John Colin, who's a designer that I've met a couple of times there. He also had a greenhouse structure in his garden. And I love that he incorporated these like little Japanese fish. So he had two little ponds that had these little Japanese rice fish, which were obviously very whimsical and very fun to just kind of stare into the pond. And his installation was called Carex into Fuchsia. So anyway, I just wanted to like nerd out and share with you, like it's me talking on a phone to a friend about, you know, these installs that I saw because I thought that they were so cool. But I do feel like I would love to encourage our community to explore this concept of whimsy and how we can explore whimsy in our gardens and with our houseplants and in nature this year. I am definitely going to be doing that as I'm coming back from this flower show extremely inspired. Now, on the houseplant side, I was actually very surprised. Normally, I come back with like really intense hot takes and trend calling trends in houseplants. Like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, like there were new begonias everywhere. Last year, it was all about variegation. And although Northwest Flower and Garden Show is really focused on gardening and there are a lot of garden plants, because it's hosted at kind of the beginning of spring, end of winter, there are also a lot of houseplant vendors that come. So you get to experience a lot of houseplants there. And usually because there are so many houseplant vendors, you see over and over and over again who, like, what is everybody selling, you know? And to me, the interesting thing about the show this year is like, I don't have a big new takeaway on like what the new hottest houseplant is. In my opinion, it was a lot of the same. There's a lot of really beautiful variegation going on. There's a lot of new plants, like there's like a new Monstera variety, golden something. There's like a lime green Monstera variety that's out now. So there's the normal Monstera a couple of years ago. Thai Constellation was, you know, and the Alba was trending. Now there's like a new variegation, you know, a new species of or cultivar of the Monstera. But there was no like crazy it plant. I do think there was like a general push and a general interest in variegated plants. And there were more plants that had variegation that I hadn't seen before, like different variegated alocasias and syngoniums and philodendrons that I hadn't seen on the floor before. But my general sense in the houseplant community is that people are not looking for like the new crazy thing to obsess over as much anymore. I feel like with houseplants, like we're all looking for ease. We're all looking to set up our plants for as much success and enjoy them instead of stress about them. We see a lot of people shifting into the low maintenance plant parent personality if they hadn't been before. Maybe you were a curious collector before. Maybe you were a mindful plant parent before. And now you're shifting into more of like a low maintenance plant parent where you still want plants in your life. You still want your house filled with plants, but you don't want to be like spending all of your time with them or all of your like expendable income. And it feels like a push for like more accessible plant care, which I am all about because I have personally shifted to a low maintenance plant parent. And it's like, I've never used more self-watering planters before. I've never chosen more drought-tolerant easy care plants before because I know that in this season of life, when I'm pregnant and I'm renovating a house and planning for our first baby, like I know that I need to shift into my low maintenance plant parent personality if my plants are going to survive. But it seemed to be this trend of like dialing in, doubling down to like what you like and what you already have, and potentially even like paring back. I'm curious if you could let me know if you're feeling that too, like with your collection. So send me an email or send me a DM on social and let me know, because I'm curious if like our community is feeling that as well. But that's just what I'm feeling when I tap into the collective ether of like the houseplant side of things. How can we make things easier? How can we make things more joyful? How can we make things more lush without like being totally crazy? So if you want to see some of the things that I just talked about, check my Instagram or TikTok or YouTube, because I will be sharing some footage and some fun stuff from my time there. I also want to give a special thanks to Espoma Organic for supporting me being there. They help underwrite like my trip and my speaking to be at Northwest Flower and Garden Show. And also they are a sponsor of today's podcast. They are a long-term partner of the podcast. They had the coolest also garden design install. They collaborated with Bailey's First Editions Plants, and they did a co-setup, like a co-booth, a co-vendor slot, where they had a fully planted garden bed with all the different types of Espoma products that you could use for those plants. So they had all of the First Edition roses, and then they had them paired with rose tone, because rose tone is one of Espoma's specifically formulated fertilizers just for roses to make sure the roses are blooming. They had the famous hydrangeas that Bailey's makes paired with the holly tone, because a lot of people use holly tone with their hydrangeas. They had a potting station that was all set up that had samples of biotone. When you're planting your seedlings in ground or in containers, you should always be sprinkling a little bit of biotone at the bottom, because that biotone has mycorrhizae and all sorts of other stuff that helps the plant establish better. I will also say I put a little bit of that biotone in all of my houseplants as well. So it was such a cool collaboration. And I do just want to say thank you, Espoma, for your continued partnership. They make organic indoor and outdoor gardening products that are safe for people, pets, and the planet. They're amazing. They're almost 100-year-old family-run company. They have such integrity. They have amazing sustainability commitments. All of my houseplants are planted in their potting soil or their cactus mix or their orchid mix. They have great outdoor garden soils and raised bed mix and container mix. They have incredible compost. Like, however, whatever you need, whatever media or fertilizer you need for your garden or your houseplants, Espoma makes it. So you can go to espoma.com to check out all of their offerings and see what local garden centers carry your favorite Espoma products. Or you can go to my Amazon storefront, which will be linked in today's show notes. That will take you to a little storefront that I have a curated list of all of the Espoma products that I use. Okay, can we talk about tomato heartbreak? Every gardener loves growing tomatoes. They usually are the star of a garden, but every gardener has also had that season, the one with hornworms or blossom end rot or vines that look amazing but barely give you enough fruit for one BLT. That's why I'm so excited about this new book called Ripe Tomato Revolution that's just come out by Frank Hyman. Frank is a former organic tomato farmer, so he's got 40 years of hands-in-the-dirt experience, and this book is like having that wise, slightly funny tomato mentor right next to you. He walks you through everything you need to know about tomatoes, from building the world's best tomato cage, his words, choosing the right mulch, watering properly, and most importantly, preventing that late blight and hornworms that can wreak havoc on our tomato harvests. He goes through starting seeds at home and even maximizing yield so your kitchen counter is overflowing with delicious tomatoes. It's practical, it's detailed, it makes tomato growing feel doable again. You should grab it if you want to have juicy, delicious tomatoes this year. That's Ripe Tomato Revolution wherever books are sold. Grow your best tomatoes this season with Ripe Tomato Revolution by Frank Hyman. So now, without further ado, I am going to cut to these mini interviews that I did with a bunch of our favorite content creators and some of my plant friends. I'm asking all of them the same four questions. You're going to hear me ask those same four questions to each of them, but I figured for the people who are listening to this, it's easier to hear them introduce themselves once and answer all four questions and then move on to the next person, then like try and splice up all the answers together. I want you to make sure you know who's talking. So without further ado, here is my fun compilation of some of your favorite garden and houseplant content creators giving you their insights to what they're seeing on the floor and, most importantly, how they grow joy with plants. What's your name, my friend?
Crystal Durant.
And what's your handle?
Plants with Crystal.
So cool. So what's the biggest trend you're seeing at the show so far?
At the show, I'm seeing a lot of diversity with plants. I'm seeing different styles. I'm seeing a lot of cactus and succulents,
which I'm
excited about, and terrariums. Some really cool ones, unique.
Terrariums and some ponds, too.
Yes.
So cool. In your opinion, what do you think plant parents are doing wrong in 2026?
It's hard to say what people are doing wrong because there's just no right way to do the things, right? I think if I'm going to pinpoint anything, I'm going to say maybe collecting the plants that aren't going to thrive in their home. And so stressing over those plants versus just finding the ones that are going to thrive in your space.
Yes, 100%. Ease, I think, is the name of the game.
Absolutely.
For 2026 and plant parents. Yeah. What about mental health? Why do you think it's important for people to have plants for their mental health?
For anyone that has all four seasons, especially someone that is seasonal sadness, right? I think it's a great reminder of the outside, but bringing it inside. It's a reminder to slow down. And it's a reminder of celebrating the joy, the small joys to get us through the hard and the dark times.
Yes. I know. Where you live, you have a long... You have a long, dark winter.
Yeah, it feels really long.
And do you have a life story where you feel like you had a great nature metaphor that helped you get through it?
Yes. So Peace Lily, I always think of trying to find the bloom, right? When you're going, I was going through a really hard time and I rescued a Peace Lily. And I remember specifically having a conversation with my dad and he said, you are like a Peace Lily. And the rescue that you had, it looked awful. And it was dry and withered, And as time has passed, you are getting your blooms back.
So, oh my gosh. Like a peace lily. You are a peace lily.
I'm a peace lily bloom.
And now you're in full bloom, baby.
What is your name and who do you work for?
Hey, I'm Justin, horticulturist with Costa Farms.
Okay. What are the trends you're seeing in 2026 for houseplants?
You know, I'm not seeing a lot of new houseplant trends, just mm-hmm. sort of continuations and evolutions of classic ones. Mm-hmm. But variegation.
Yeah.
Still so hot, mm-hmm. but it's shifting a little bit from the white to more of the gold variegation.
Oh, gold variegation. I saw your new golden Monstera.
Yes, golden compact. Really, really cool. Mm-hmm. It's like neon pothos.
Yeah.
Cirrhosis had a baby.
It's so cute. I love it. Okay. What do you feel like in 2026 plant parents still aren't getting right?
Light.
There you go.
Light is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Houseplants always want as much light as they can get. Mm-hmm. And it's never as much as we think it is.
Yeah, 100%. It's never as much as you think it is indoors. Never. What about mental health? How do you think plants play a role in mental health?
So many ways.
Yeah.
They give us something to nurture on. They give us something to step out of ourselves on. So mm-hmm. it's not all about me all the time. Mm-hmm. There was a great study with the elderly. And in nursing homes, elderly people had a higher life satisfaction if they owned a houseplant compared to those that didn't.
Really?
Because there was still something that needed them.
Mm, and something they got to nurture.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's so there's so
this
beautiful.
Real connection.
I love that. What's a life lesson you learned from plants?
To get over it. Mm. You know, when you kill a plant, it's not the end of the world. It's a learning experience.
Okay.
And don't dwell on the losses. Look in the opportunities. Look at what you gain out of it and take that to build on yourself and grow and have a better experience the next time.
Yeah. And it's not that deep.
No.
And if you can do that practice with your plants, you can probably let go of shit in your life a lot faster.
Exactly.
I love that. So what's your name and brand?
Hi, I'm Zach and I'm from Soltech and we're an interior lighting company.
Very nice. My favorite interior lighting company.
Thank you.
So are you seeing any trends on the floor here? What are you seeing?
On the floor, I'm seeing a lot of varying leaf shapes, mm-hmm. a lot of beautiful colors. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a little bit of less is more, like more statement plants.
Yeah.
And less filler.
Yeah.
This year is a big thing I've seen on the floor.
I love that. Yeah. That's definitely where I'm going in my 2026 collection is big statement plants.
In your next season.
Mm-hmm. So epic. Yeah. What are you feeling like people are doing wrong in 2026 with plants?
Of course, as the grow lighting company, mm-hmm. they need more light.
Yeah.
More light, more life, more mm-hmm. places. But dialing in that light for each plant is so important mm-hmm. in understanding the profile of each plant, because you can't just set plants with different light needs all on the same level under the same light and expect mm-hmm. them all to do a great job.
Yeah.
So jumping on our website, soltech.com, we have grow guides for 50 plus plants now. Mm-hmm. You can hop on there for your specific plant and say, okay, I have this light and I want it to grow well. So where do I need to put it? How far away from the light?
Yeah.
XYZ. And we're there to help people find those solutions so that they can get their lighting right, dialed in, keep their plants happy.
Yeah. And I think it can go two different ways. Either you have to understand what your natural light is and only choose plants that work for your natural light.
Yeah.
Or if you want to choose plants that are the plants that you want, that you might need to supplement light, then you have to supplement the light in a way that makes sense so that those plants can be happy and not just get super leggy and like bummed out.
Absolutely. No mm-hmm. one wants leggy plants.
What do you feel like? How do you feel like plants influence mental health?
I think plants influence mental health in a big way because they offer a sort of, obviously plants don't move very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, they obviously grow over time, but they have a sort of stoic nature to them that mm-hmm. kind of keeps you, pun intended, grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that positive piece of nature in your space at mm-hmm. all times to keep you grounded mm-hmm. is, I think, massive for mental health.
Yeah.
And just us evolving as people in mm-hmm. nature, to have a little piece of it near us, I think can only help someone's mental state.
Absolutely. And is there a life lesson you've learned from plants or a story that you have, like a nature-based metaphor that really resonates with you?
Yeah. For me in particular, it has to be the lesson where you just leave something alone.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, give it what it needs.
Yeah.
almost any plant, there's plenty of information out mm-hmm. there and the right way to take care of something, lighting, watering, all that good stuff. And then let the plant do its thing.
Mm.
Let it grow. If it needs something, it'll likely be obvious, depending on what the issue is. But like we said, if there's not enough light, it gets leggy. If you're not watering enough, there's slow growth, a bunch of other issues. So letting it go and just watching your plant and letting it be a relaxing thing and don't, you know, try and control it too much, mm-hmm. basically. And I think that's a great metaphor for life in general and just let things naturally happen and kind of go with the flow as much as you can.
Let things slowly unfurl. My darling, what's your name and your handle?
Camille, aka Plant Blurred, Black Nerd across all socials.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
So I know you got here yesterday, but what trends are you seeing on the floor this year?
I am seeing a lot of the same usual favorites.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of variegation, a lot of the Monstera elbows and ties. You know, I think that those, they are trending, but also they'll never go out of style. People will always be drooling for those plants.
And it's like the golden oldie, the Monstera, like plus with an asterisk.
Yes.
Like if it's the Constellation or the new like golden variety.
Yes.
In your opinion, what are plant parents still getting wrong in 2026?
Okay, in 2026, I think what people are still getting wrong is they're chasing those unicorns.
Yeah.
You don't need to chase the unicorn plants. One, the price is going to come down. You're going to feel like a fool for paying $200 for that leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And the standards are the standards because they'll acclimate in your home.
Yeah.
And the goal is to grow.
Yeah.
So I do think that, you know, forever chasing those rare, which is a marketing term.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a mistake. And
I think
buy what you love and what speaks to you and it's going to hold your intention.
And what's easy. I think in 2026, like ease is the word for
absolutely,
a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of ease, why and how do plants affect mental health?
I think that they affect mental health in the most positive of ways because they make you slow down.
Yeah.
Like you have to slow down to care for your plants. And it gives you a moment to kind of like have an analog leisure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so plugged in and it's an opportunity to unplug.
Yes, so important. And do you have a life lesson that you feel like plants have taught you or a nature-based metaphor that has like helped you grow through a hard time?
Absolutely. I can always tell when I'm doing too much because my plants look horrible.
Oh, okay.
They're
your signal. They're your canary in a coal mine.
They are. So when they are drooping, you know, when they're down to two leaves and something that was once flourishing now looks like I'm about to have to kick it in a bin.
Yeah.
I know it's really time to check in.
Wow.
And see what's been going on either mentally or just if I'm just overbooking myself.
Yes. Yeah. So, plants are a mirror for sure.
They are. They are.
All right. Well, once more, where can everyone find you?
They can find me across all the socials at Plant Blurred. As in Black Nerd.
Ms. Nicotsumpis, also known as Farmer Nick. I like houseplants.
Yes.
Green things. Things you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
Things you can grow.
Things you can grow.
Things you can do for the environment.
Of course. Why else do it?
Right. Why else do it? All right. Let's talk trends. What are you seeing on the floor? Anything new this year?
You know, I'm seeing just variegation.
Yeah.
It's variegation overload, to be honest. Like, I always viewed variegation as like an accent color to my plant palette, where it's like, oh, I've got some darker greens, I've got some lighter greens, and boom, something in the middle, a little variegation. But now I feel like there's so much variegation that if I collected all the plants that are variegated, it's just going to look like the Jackson Pollock painting at the end of the day, right? Like,
and they're harder to take care of.
And they are,
They crisp, the white turns brown.
People think that those half moon leaves are going to last a long time, but there's no photosynthesis.
And they just shrivel up. It's
exactly.
So sad. So in your opinion, what are plant parents getting wrong in 2026?
Oh, what are plant parents getting wrong? I would say that, you know, there's still a little bit of this like rare plant fever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just changing.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the elbows aren't 500 a cutting
anymore,
but it's like, ooh, I need to get the next this, the next that. And don't get me wrong, I love finding new varieties. But like, I don't want any plant parents out there to feel pressure that they need the $200 plant.
And it's just a more of like a collector, like I need more, yes. No matter what it is.
Yeah, like let's get back to the practice versus the act mm-hmm. of collecting, which don't get me wrong, collecting is great.
Yeah.
But the practice is a practice in patience, a practice mm-hmm. in wellness, mm-hmm. A practice in overcoming grief mm-hmm. and challenges in our lives, right? So I don't want to lose that message.
Totally. Speaking of wellness, how do you think plants impact mental health?
Oh my God. I mean, just for me personally, mm-hmm. I've been someone who is so type A, struggles to relax. So to be able to have something that's slow, mm-hmm. purposefully slow,
yeah,
I can't speed it up. Mm-hmm. And in today's world that is so fast paced, instant gratification, it's forced me to slow down. Mm. And that slowness has made my mental health better.
Yeah.
Because I can't make that new leaf come out any faster than it's going.
Nope.
It's on its pace. I just have to create an environment that's hospitable. Mm-hmm. And that takes time. That takes action. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And I think it's just a good lesson for anyone who feels that life is speeding them up a little bit too much.
Totally. Do you have a plant? Yeah, that was such a beautiful example. Do you have another like nature-based metaphor or plant life parallel for a tough time you've gone through?
Ooh, you know, but there's some tough times lately.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife and I going through the IVF process. It has been a challenge. And I think in those times, you know, it's been really interesting seeing her, mm-hmm. who's not a plant person necessarily, mm. kind of go to the garden.
Really?
And be very involved. She was more involved with the houseplants in the garden than I've ever seen her in.
Wow.
And to see that and see like, okay, like, you know, I don't know if it's the metaphor now, but the analogy I like to use is like, you know, if you're nurturing a plant, it's not different than nurturing a human.
Yeah.
Right. And just the idea of nurture mm-hmm. is so inherent. And especially when you're going through physically the hormones yeah. that change this and that, just the fact that she feels the need to do that in some mm-hmm. way is really, you know.
And that it's intrinsic and intuitive and like, yes. it's not, okay, I know I have to go in my garden. It's like her body is being drawn to the garden because her body knows this is what my nervous system needs to
this
reset.
This is what it needs. Mm-hmm. I had a client back in New York. She had called me. She goes, Nick, I bought 50 plants.
Okay.
I'm like, whoa. Like normally you get a client, they're like, okay. 10 plants. And yeah. That's a lot. Well, 50. I go over and I'm watching her, you know, interact. She's nervous, this and that, whatever. I was like, can I just ask you, like, why'd you do this? Mm. She goes, I had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
And I needed to nurture something. Mm-hmm. Now, would I have recommended starting off with 50? No.
That's a jump into the deep end. Yeah.
But it is, like you said, it's intrinsic. It's part of who we are
yeah.
as humans.
Yeah.
And it helps, especially in those tougher times.
I'm Cassidy Tuttle with Succulents and Sunshine.
Yay, friend of the podcast. So in your opinion, what are plant parents doing wrong in 2026?
I think the biggest thing is watering on a set schedule. Like every time I hear someone like, I just water this every week or I water every 2 weeks, it just makes me want to like cringe inside.
Yeah.
So I don't have an issue with like getting a baseline mm-hmm. for when to water. For example, I just started growing Monstera and I'm like, is this like a roughly once a week watering, mm-hmm. once a day? Is it, you know, every few weeks? So I feel like it's good to have a starting point, but not a hard, fast rule. Mm-hmm. Water it every 10 days exactly
yeah.
and it'll be perfect. Because every climate's different. Every house is different, even mm-hmm. though we all think our houses inside are the same.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between my house in Utah and your house in Florida.
Totally.
A lot of humidity differences.
So yeah.
Not sticking to like set rules, especially with watering.
Yeah. I don't mind if every Sunday is your plant check-in day.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to check your plants. You're not necessarily going to water your plants. But yes, don't water your plants routinely just because a care card says so. 100%.
Yes.
How do you think plants affect mental health?
Well, I have some positive and negatives on that.
Okay, tell me.
Well, in your book, you talk about having a plant number. Mm-hmm. And that is something that has hit home for me so much because I currently have more plants than is my happy number. So I've gone through phases where my plants are not helping my mental health because of the stress
of having overwhelmed
to care
you.
For them. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm cool with plants dying, it's hard when you think about like, oh my gosh, my whole collection's going to die because I'm not watering it.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No. And I feel like that's something that gets missed a lot when people are talking about mental health with plants.
Yeah.
Because they do have so many positive benefits. Like, I love your like 5 minutes of plant time before screen time. I really do feel like there's a lot of benefit to just being with plants, helping calm us down, providing that organic look and feel inside our homes. And we're not going outside all the time. Like I'm indoors basically 24/7.
Yep.
Just love being home, but having the plants in there helps me feel like I'm more in nature and definitely helps calm me, just gives me purpose and something to do.
Yeah.
So in going through, I had pretty severe postpartum depression and working with my plants got me through it.
Yeah.
So it can definitely be a positive or negative. You just have to be aware of it. But hopefully for most people, it ends up on that positive side. And I think just keep that plant number in mind so you're not getting too many and then starting to hit the overwhelm.
I'm so happy you named that because yes, there are positive and negative aspects of mental health when it comes to plants, and people don't talk about the negative side. What's a moment where your plants were able to help you through a challenge in your life?
After my daughter was born, I had really severe postpartum depression, and my plants helped me get through it, both from a business perspective, because it gave me purpose to keep, you know, sharing things online, but also it just gave me something to do that was not caring for people, not necessarily caring for myself directly, but it just gave me something exciting to work on that because I'm growing succulents, it didn't need attention every day.
Yeah.
And that was huge.
So it's forgiving. Yeah.
Houseplants that need like constant care didn't work for me. And ended up being more stressful, but having plants that I could tend to when I wanted to and leave alone if I wasn't feeling up for it for the day was really, really helpful.
That makes so much sense because with a baby, you can't not water it. You cannot feed it, you know, for days on end, but it's nice that the succulents can be forgiving. And also they like will give you a bloom and they'll, you know, blush and turn beautiful colors for you, which is so joyful. And you're not like having to, you're not like, you know, responsible for its like life or death every day, like every moment of every day, like a baby.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And then like propagating was one of the other things that made me so happy because succulents are so easy to propagate from leaves. And just seeing a little baby on a leaf, it's just, there's doesn't get much better than that.
Totally.
So fun.
Amazing. Well, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at succulentsandsunshine.com. We also have an app that helps you keep track of all your plants called Cheerful Plants, and it's available on Apple and Android.
Amazing. Thank you.
My name is Claudia. In the Garden with Claudia is my channel.
So what trends are you seeing here on the floor at Northwest Flower and Garden Show?
All right. You know what? You house plant people are really coming in hot.
Yeah.
I will say, I feel like this year there's a lot more house plant power than before.
It's a gardening festival.
It is. So
and we're in House of Plants right
now. I know. And it's like, I'm, you know, I garden outside usually, but I'm trying to like up my game. So I follow you and everything you say, I do. But I'm seeing a lot more tropicals too, like flowering tropicals, the orchids.
There's multiple rare orchid vendors here.
Yes. There's one that came from Hawaii. Like they ship them over.
That's so
I'm
cool.
I'm seeing a lot more of that. And I'm actually very interested and curious about that.
That's so
I'm
cool.
From Brazil. So it's like, I should be rooted with some tropicals.
Right. Yes. You should have tropicals in your house.
I should.
Yeah.
I just end up killing them.
Yeah. I got you, girl. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. We'll fix that real quick.
Yeah.
What do you feel like plant, and you can speak to outdoor plant parents, but what do you feel like plant parents are doing wrong in 2026?
Over caring for your plants.
Okay.
I really like.
Yeah.
Okay. I still feel like I'm a baby gardener.
Yeah.
We grow a lot of flowers. And in the beginning, I was like watching them like a hawk. Like, okay. Do this, do that, that, and really give them good light. Start them out with a good fertilizer. Biotone starter fertilizer.
Shout out.
Yeah. Shout out to them. And stay consistent.
Yeah.
I think people are really inconsistent with things, whether it's flowers or planting new shrubs or roses like that. And I think that's where your plants struggle. When your plants are under stress, no matter like how good of anything you give them, they're not going to like it.
Yeah. So
being consistent and also just kind of back off and let them do their own thing.
Yeah.
Like really, plants are resilient.
Yeah.
And I think we like think that we need to like coddle them and bathe them. But you really don't have to. As long as you, again, good soil, water, consistency.
I think it's better too to have consistent, more lower maintenance than periods where you're like super high maintenance and then periods where you're super low maintenance.
Exactly.
Because that's more stressful.
Well, it is. Because it's like, wait, are you loving me or are we...
rejecting me, yeah, like big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So it messes them up. So yeah, just be cool about it.
Be cool about it.
Don't be cool.
Everybody relax.
Yeah. Just, they'll be fine. Yeah. As long as you're fine, they'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you feel like plants affect mental health?
Oh gosh, this is a really big question. Mm-hmm. Okay, we need to talk about this like on a deeper level.
Yes.
I think plants and just gardening in general add so much value to your life. I mean, it's literally research and it's like backed up by science now.
Yeah.
Touching soil is good for your for yourself, for like your immune system. Yeah. There are days where I like don't have a plan to do anything in my garden, but I just want to go put my hand in a bucket of soil.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually do with my seed starting mix.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's seed starting season. Just in the positive, like the most positive way. I think if you're somebody who rejects traditional like therapy or whatever, you know, like if you have your thoughts about that, try gardening, try growing plants, buying plants, investing in plants, because they will feed your soul in a way that you will never expect.
Yeah.
Like humans are great, pets are great, but plants are amazing.
Next level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is there a plant life parallel that has carried you through a hard time or like really speaks to your soul?
Yeah, I think so. During COVID, I was actually running a research lab at that time and our lab got shut down and I had just made this huge career decision not to go to dental school. And I was lost. I was just like, my family was freaking out. Everybody was freaking out. And I turned to gardening and I didn't know what to do. I just knew I wanted to like redo our whole backyard. And so we got into gardening and I did not believe how much it impacted me to the point where like, I want a career in this now. Right.
Yeah.
And like, it really saved my life. Like, I truly believe gardening and growing flowers.
The most joyful thing you could do. Let's be real.
The best.
Yeah.
Like, I always have a hard time when that transition happens from like when we get our frost. I have a moment where I call it my cry day, where I go out and I look at my flowers, everything that has, you know, died, the frost got to them, and I just cry and I thank them.
Yeah.
And then we get excited for the next season.
But that's life, right? Yeah. Like that is the seasons of life and grief and rebirth and dormancy. Like it's all right there in your garden.
Exactly. Like you can really learn a lot about life. Your garden will teach you about life.
Yes.
That's what it is.
I like to say, you got a problem, go out in your garden, you'll find the answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's
true. Yeah. You're amazing. Where can everyone find you?
So you guys can find me on Instagram and also on YouTube. We post a video Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays. And
oh my gosh, so many videos.
Yeah. So many videos. It's really fun. It's goofy.
Yeah.
We're goofy. We're a goofy pair, but it's fun.
And you have a flower garden that is to be the envy of probably most people, myself included.
Thank you. I hope that you get to come out someday.
Me too.
I would love to show you my garden.
I would love that. Oh my gosh, I would love that.
I would love that too.
Thank you so much to Northwest Flower and Garden Show for having me and for inviting me to speak and host House of Plants. Thank you to Espoma for supporting me getting there. Thank you to all of my plant friends who showed up for these little plant interviews. I was pregnant at the show, so, you know, I was sending them all texts being like, hey, can you come meet me at House of Plants so I could interview you and I don't have to run around? And they all were such great sports. So to all of you guys who pulled me aside and said, hey, I'm a listener, so nice to meet you. Thank you to those of you who came to my talks. Thank you. It's so fun to be able to connect with so many of our listeners in person, because as a podcaster, you like fire off these episodes and you hope they're hitting people's earbuds, but like you really don't know. So it's so nice to put faces behind all of the earbuds that listen to the show. And like I said, head over to my socials to see what I'm talking about, as I will be releasing some social content as well to show you these beautiful garden installs that we talk about. Last year, I got to go to a lot of these garden shows because I was able to travel. This year, because of my pregnancy and my due date, I sadly am going to miss a few that I was really hoping to go to this year, but there's always 2027. And I highly suggest you look up what local plant shows are in your area, because it is so fun to connect with fellow plant people and also just like see all of the cool artisans that are on the floor and like selling the coolest, most interesting things. I hope you're getting excited. I hope you're exploring and thinking about this concept of whimsy for your garden this year, all to make you keep growing joy.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review. Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.